Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this, take the limits off.
Oh, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In this place, we thank you so much for tuning in. You are listening right now live to the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. We welcome you to the birthplace of gospel music on this fifth Sunday of January. You could have been anywhere else, but you decided to tune in right here with us at the birthplace of gospel music. Do us a small favor. Go ahead and hit that share button. That's right, hit that share button. Invite those thousands of friends that you have on Facebook. Hit them up and let them know that you've tuned in to the birthplace of gospel music. We're excited to have you today. Also, for those of you who might be listening to my voice on the radio side, if you want to take a sneak peek and see what you've been listening to, go ahead and find our YouTube page. That's right, our YouTube page. Do a simple search or go to the church's website, EbenezerBronzeville.org. Hit watch now on YouTube and it'll bring you right here to our live broadcast. We thank you all so much for tuning in today. We are excited to be here. Amen. Amen. Let us go to the throne in prayer. Father God, we welcome you into this place. Lord God, have your way in this service on today. Lord God, we recognize that we're in the midst of a pandemic and in the midst of a storm, God, but we trust that you are still faithful. We trust that you can still show up. We trust that you will still set free, God. So right now, have your way on this broadcast to whomever's listening, wherever they are, God. Do what you do. In this place and theirs, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our scripture text today comes from the book of Mark, the gospel of Mark, chapter 9, starting at the ninth verse. And we're going to read through the 14. My mind went blank just that quick, but I'm going to read it. Starting at the ninth verse, and it reads, "And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man the things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean." Verse 11 says, "And they asked him, saying, what say the scribes that Elias must first come?" 12 says, "And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first, and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set as naught. 13 says, "But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they who have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them." Amen. Amen. We have read that for you. Look, y'all do us a favor. Continue to go ahead and hit that share button as we continue on with our service. We're going to go right into our congregational song, Glory to His Name. Amen, amen, amen.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for sinners cries, there to my heart was the blood applied. I'm singing glory to His name. Oh, I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where he took me in, singing glory to his name, singing glory to his name, precious name, glory to his name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name. I'm singing glory to his name. His name is precious. Glory to his name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood supply. Singing glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saved from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. I'm singing glory, glory to His name. Oh, I'm singing glory to His name. His precious name, glory to His name. Who bear to my heart was the blood of blood. Singing glory to His name. I've come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Singing glory to His name. Oh, I'm singing glory to His name. Precious name. Glory to His name. Oh, my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to His name.
Amen. We are singing glory to His name. God is indeed worthy of the praise and the honor and the glory. We want to welcome you once again to this, the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. And we are so excited that you are here today on this stream. It is a winter wonderland in Chicagoland, but we have pressed our way, we have pushed our way, we have sledded our way to the house of prayer. And we're just glad to be back in the pulpit and certainly want to again thank my church family for all of your tremendous, tremendous, tremendous support during my season, my family season of grief. And I also want to thank Reverend Minister Dr. King for covering the pulpit those 2 weeks. You always, during this season, you know you have to take time for yourself and know the wisdom of stepping away to grieve and to take care of your family. And we're grateful that he was able to step up and to carry the load. Again, thank you, Ebenezer, for your overwhelming support and your profound sense of love. And we are greatly, greatly appreciative of it. But we're going to ask you to continue to keep us lifted in prayer because this is a new journey. And I know many of you have been through it, but this is indeed a new journey. But as my dad would say, God is able, and we cling and we hold tightly to that. We want to make mention that this next Sunday, the first Sunday this week, we would invite you to come down if you get an opportunity as you're dropping off your envelopes and continuing to support Ebenezer, that you would pick up your communion cups so that you'll be prepared next first Sunday for Communion Sunday. We'll be back in the building where we're in the building today, but just essential personnel, our musicians and our chairman of the deacon and trustee boards and the persons know who they are will be in worship next first Sunday. And we will go and see how that goes with essential personnel only for the first Sunday and probably the second Sunday. And it is our hope and it is our prayer that as Chicago's rates continue to go down, that we'll be able to have 50 people in worship with social distancing, distancing procedures in place with your mask on and no choir or any of those things. So we are excited and we are getting prepared for that as we are looking forward to be able to have people, congregants in the building on a limited basis. We also want to just say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who continue to support Ebenezer. This is the last Sunday of January, and it's almost been a blur. Things have happened so fast with things happening in Washington and the new administration and all those things. But let's end this month with strength as we support the work and ministry of Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. God bless you, and we continue in worship this morning.
Jesus, Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, yes, we adore you. Yes, we do. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I lift my voice to let you know, Father, and Holy Jesus, 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 we love you, Holy Spirit, yes, we adore you, yes, we do, Father, 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 we praise you, Jesus, 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 we love you, Holy Spirit, yes, we adore you, yes, we do, Jesus, Lord and Savior, you came to set us free by your nail-scarred hands, your nail-scarred hands. You purchased our salvation when you died on Calvary. You are the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. You are the Lamb, Father. Jesus, 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 we love you, Holy Spirit, yes, we adore you, yes, we do, Father, 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 we praise you, Jesus, 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 we love you, Holy Spirit, yes, we adore you, yes, we do, yes, we do, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. You. Yeah, yes. I say, yeah. We worship you, we worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are so grateful. Thank you again to Brother Jeffrey for that amazing rendition of Father, Father. Amazing, amazing. Look, we are so grateful. Thank you again. Look, we know that it is bad outside, but look, this is one of those times where you should be glad that there is virtual church. Amen. Somebody should have clapped right there. You ought to be glad that there is virtual church. You have no excuse for not coming to church today because we're giving it to you as any way you can get it. Remember, we're broadcasting on Facebook Live right now. We're broadcasting on YouTube, and you can even call in and listen in on the radio, 323-870-4375. You can call in and listen right there. Again, that's 323-870-4375 is that number to call in for those who might be computer challenged. You can call in right there. Amen. Look, it is also the time where you can now participate in the service. You can participate in the service. Look, there are three ways, actually four ways you can give, but three will be on your screen. You can do the first one. You can go right to EbenezerBronzeville.org and hit the donate button. You can go right there, EbenezerBronzeville.org, and hit that donate button. Also, you can text to give. That's right. You put the number in, that's right, the phone number, and then, watch this, you type the amount. Come on, then you type the amount. Come on. Look. We got a lot of stuff we need to do. And however you can bless us, however God has blessed you, you can be a blessing to us. Look, I promise you, it's going to go to something that's needed. Amen. Amen. So go ahead and do that text to give. You can also mail or deliver your tithe. In this weather, I would suggest you mail it. Go ahead and mail your tithe or your offering to 4501 South Vincennes Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60653. Again, that's 4501 South Vincennes Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60653. 3653. Amen, amen. So we're going to give you all a few minutes to grab your credit cards or your debit card or whatever you choose to use, your Cash App. We got to work on that too. However you choose amen. To give, but you can go ahead and give that now. Amen, amen. Our music ministry is going to give us a little something in a hot second. Amen.
Yes, you guys are to the giving thing.
Preaching a sermon one Sunday, and it was a parable. It was talking about the disciples and Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I am pastor. As my pastor of worship at the Lighthouse Church of Houston takes us down memory lane with songs from his body of work that have helped us maneuver through this thing called life. It is my distinct honor to present to you the Ernest Pugh Medley of Life. The song says, "He is the great I am." Messengers, we will worship the Lord with praise and will shout in all the earth. Tell him what he's worthy of. Yes. Sing. Oh, yeah. Everybody, he is the great I am. Everybody, he is the great I am. For he is the great I am. Yes, he is the great I am. Hit me with the reason. Holy is the Lord our God.
Holy is the Lord our God. Thank you, Ebenezer ERE members, as well for your generosity. We are so grateful to you for seeding into the work and ministry here at Ebenezer. I want to ask and invite you to gather with us as we go to God in prayer during our virtual prayer time altar call. We have many people that are on our list that we are lifting in prayer today. We are lifting in prayer Sister Imogene McCray, who was in Holy Cross Hospital. We are lifting in prayer Lenora Ames, who was in the University of Chicago Hospital. Brother Bobby Thomas, who is still in U of C Hospital as well. We are praising God for Stanley Stovall being home, and Minnie Peggs was in the hospital and she is home. Kenneth Sexton is continuing asking for prayer. Everett New Church is continuing asking for prayer, but he is at home and doing very, very well. We are lifting in prayer Brother Rob Martin, Doris Robinson, lifting up Sister Lindsay, continuing lifting her in prayer. And we're continuing to pray for Joe Mukes, who is rehabbing, Patricia Butts, who is on the mend as well. We're continuing to pray for her. And we're continuing to pray for Grace Lee. Grace Lee and her entire family at this time, we are lifting her in prayer. And we're continuing to lift Sister Ethel Freeman in the passing of her sister. Even though those services have taken place, we are continuing to remember her and all those who have gone through and who have had to bid farewell to loved ones. We are continuing lifting them in prayer. Well, we are mindful that we serve a God that answers prayer. And oftentimes we often forget that a lot of the things that we have on our hearts and in our minds, that we can bring it to the altar. We can place it before the altar and leave them there. And so I invite you to join with me in prayer. And if there are any special requests, if you want to share them in the chat section on YouTube or in Facebook Live, if you would just do that, and we will call those this week in prayer. Let us go to God and the throne of grace. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for another opportunity to be in your glorious presence as we have made our way to this, the house of prayer. God, you know what we stand in need of. You know, Lord, the weight that is on our shoulders, the heaviness in our hearts. God, we ask right now that you would touch us with your power and with your love right now, oh God. Many people, oh God, in our faith community, oh God, are seeking your presence, oh God, are looking for restoration in their body, oh God. Their names have been called, oh God. We ask right now, oh God, that you will go into those hospital rooms, oh God, and transform them from sick rooms to healing rooms, oh God, restoration rooms right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we continue to lift up our nation, oh God, as we continue with this new administration, oh God. We recognize, oh God, that though there has been a change, we are not by no means out of the woods yet. And so, God, we ask you, oh God, you bless the efforts of those who are in charge of fighting this pandemic, oh God, that we will be able to speed up, oh God, vaccinations coming to those who are in need, oh God, so that we can get back to some normalcy, oh God. God, we're thankful right now, oh God, that you've kept us thus far, oh God, and we ask, oh God, that we not be weary, oh God, in well-doing, thinking about others more than ourselves, oh God. We ask, oh God, today, as we lift up our nation, oh God, we lift up our individual communities, oh God, where there is strife, oh God, disagreement, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you bring healing and unity right now in the name of Jesus. God, we're lifting up Ebenezer right now, this station of Zion that's been here for over 118 years, oh God. We're lifting up our members right now, oh God. If any of them stand in need of anything, oh God, we ask, oh God, you touch by your power divine. God, we ask that you be in our hearts and our minds for the balance of this service. We pray, oh God, that something that may be said or uttered or spoken will speak to the needs of those who have gathered on this stream in faith. And God, when it's all over, oh God, that someone will ask, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we love you today. Lord, we thank you. We feel, oh God, your restoring power right now, oh God. We cling tightly to our faith, knowing, oh God, that you will comfort us and that you will sustain us. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your love and your protection. We lift now this prayer upon the wings of the morn and place it before thy feet. To the all-wise God, and for his sake we do pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you.
Your world, please, for
order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. Please show me how to walk in your word. Show me how to talk in your word. Watch my tongue in your word. Guide my feet in your word. Order my steps in your word. Please. The world is ever changing, Lord, but order my steps. Humbly I ask thee, keep thy will, Lord, in your word. Order my steps in your word. Guide my feet in your word. Ooh, wash my heart in your word. Ooh, in your word. I want to be worthy, Lord. I want to be worthy, Lord. Want to be worthy, Lord. In your word. Order my steps in your word. Order my steps in your word.
Amen. We are praying that God indeed orders our steps in your word this morning. I want to read into your hearing once again from the Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse, reading down through to the 24th. And there you will find these words recorded. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." I want to speak from the subject, believe again. Believe again. Doubting what's possible. All of us have doubts. When we doubt the future, we call it worry. When we doubt people, we call it suspicion. When we doubt ourselves, we call it insecurity. When we doubt God, we call it unbelief. When we doubt a former president, we call it intelligence. When we doubt everything and anyone, we call it cynicism. All of us, beloved, have doubts, regardless of how certain your convictions, how focused your faith, or how resolved your resolution. There is no life filter available that can screen the moments when we are suspended between that narrow place of it's going to be all right, and I really don't know how this thing is going to work out. Doubt may not be your residence, but if you're honest, it's a place you've visited a time or two. Job stayed there for a while, and the scripture shared that he was a perfect and upright man. However, Job arrived at a point in a place in his trials and troubles where in exasperation he exclaimed, "I wish I could find God so I could plead my case before him." Abraham was gripped by doubt and lost his patience attempting to wait for God's promise. He concocted a plan of flesh and fear and frustration that gave birth to Ishmael and created such dissent in his household, it has never yet been resolved. John the Baptist, you remember him, isolated and incarcerated, had doubts that prompted him to send a delegation to Jesus Christ and ask, "Are you the one? Or should we look for another?" Those women who came to the tomb early that Sunday morning with spices to anoint the dead body of Jesus Christ had doubts. That's why they came. They came not to embrace a risen Savior, but to embalm a dead hero. And I suspect that if you turn over the fabric of your own life, that design on the backside would be woven with the bleak threads of doubts and fears. You see, beloved, all of us have doubts. And indeed, the events and activities of our time are enough to unnerve anybody, because we have now arrived at what the late Dr. Peter Gomes of Harvard University once called that thin place where collectively and personally our attention has been summoned. Our focus has been claimed, and all of us are driven to reach up quickly and desperately to God. We are wearily walking together through a new era of uncertainty and insecurity. Never before in our lifetimes have so many areas of our lives been so shaky and unpredictable at this time. Our sense of safety has been shattered, and we wonder what will happen next. Will the vaccine get out to defeat the coronavirus? Will some new epidemic become the next global nightmare? Have we waited too long to address climate change? Will our water be contaminated? Will we be victims of chemical warfare? Will some crazy bomb be exploded and fill the air with radioactive poison? Will extremist groups push the country into a civil war? Will foreign actors so misinform us that we will have no confidence in anything or anybody? Will more buses and cars and boats and trucks and planes be used by some maniac somewhere trying to make a point? We don't know. All we know is that we live in uncertain and sometimes a cruel world where anything can happen to anybody at any time. And we know that we have nowhere and no one to turn to but God. We know that God is love and does not hate anyone. We know that God is light and does not lurk in the shadow of ominous conspiracy. We know that God is life and not death. We know God is freedom and not bondage. We know God is hope and not despair. God is good and not evil. God is a source of life and the power of being. God is not just great. God is good. In fact, God is good even when things are bad, because God is good all the time. God is not just everywhere and in everything like the pantheists say, but God is the power of being, the energy of life, and the nucleus of authority in which all lesser beings and worlds subsist. Everything subsists in God, and it is because of God that we can face all things, deal with all things, handle all things, manage all things, survive all things, and overcome all things. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to God's purpose. In fact, I'm preaching to people on this stream right now who could honestly and rightfully classify yourself as a survivor. Mark 9, 14 through 18 is the story of a troubled and a solicitous father struggling through a challenging moment of doubt because he wanted to have his sick son healed. He doubts Jesus because of the failure of Jesus' disciples. He doubts what is presently possible because of what was previously presented. The disciples, you see, could not heal his son. And to add agony to insult, they were now engaged in a heated argument with the scribes because neither group could sufficiently explain why, despite their best efforts, nothing had changed. Voices were raised, fingers were pointing, accusations were hurled, the crowd had gathered, but then Jesus showed up. And whenever and wherever Jesus shows up, things are about to change. Jesus, you see, has a holy habit of showing up just in the nick of time. I wonder if there's a witness on the stream today. That's why no matter what happens, you simply can't fall apart. You can't give up. You can't abort your assurance or terminate your promise or surrender your shout, because he may not come when you want him, but he will be on time. Daddy People said he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Jesus showed up, and the crowds had rushed to greet him, pushing and shoving their way. Jesus wanted to know what the problem was, what the argument was about, what caused the conflict, until someone from the crowd told the story. He said, "Teacher, this man brought you his son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down and grinds his teeth, and he becomes rigid. And we asked your disciples to cast it out of him, but they could not." This frantic father, in hopeful optimism, had taken his sick son to the disciples, but they could do nothing, nothing for him. They could not get this demonic spirit to come out of the young man. After all of their incantations, after all of their intonations and scriptural quotations and spiritual formations, the demon was still in the boy. They could not, and the sad news is that we have not yet succeeded in getting the demon out of the boy. Just like those beleaguered disciples, the church worldwide is experiencing a power failure, a vexing eclipse of supernatural strength and ability. This is the problem that should bother us. You see, after all the services we have conducted, all the buildings we have built, all of the conferences we have convened, all of the ecstasy we've felt, all of the sermons we've preached, all of the studies we've taught, all of the prayer meetings we have held, all of the testimonies we have uttered, and the revivals and the institutes and the church meetings and the concerts we've had, the demon is still in the boy. People throughout the church are speaking in tongues known and unknown in record numbers. We are more charismatic and Pentecostal than perhaps at any time in our history. There are conspicuous displays of religious phenomenology seen on television and on social media 24/7, 365, but the demon is still in the boy. Notice in the text that the people who claimed to be closest to God and the most theologically astute discovered they had no power to heal the boy who was possessed by an evil spirit. I think I ought to say that again. I believe you missed that. Those who claimed to be closest to God and most theologically astute discover they had no power to heal the boy. Here we are caught in the crushing crisis of the failure of the church to address the agonies, resolve the problems, heal the illnesses of this world. We are presented with a problem that should bother us, but thanks be to God, we are given a prayer that should build us. Because three kinds of doubt emerge in this text. The doubt of the scribes, the doubts of the disciples, and the doubts of the father of this troubled child. The scribes express their doubts through dispute, always asking, trapping, condescending, self-righteous questions, making themselves the prosecutor and Jesus the defendant. The disciples expressed their doubts through disability because they were unable to rectify the situation, bringing healing to this distressed family. The father expressed his doubts in desperation, weeping over the disfigured body of his child, wondering if there was any hope anywhere. The man spoke up in verse 17. He said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal, and he is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to cast him out, but they could not." Now pick me up in verse 22. He says, "The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Now, that's the central point. What do you mean, "if I can"? Jesus asked. He said, anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out. He instantly prayed, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." You see, this is the prayer, Ebenezer and friends of Ebenezer, that should build us. It is a prayer that we all should pray constantly. Help me overcome my unbelief. Help me to believe that something is possible in my situation, that something can change, that things can be different, that problems can be solved, that burdens can be lifted, that hurts can be healed, and yokes can be broken, and strongholds can be shattered, and injustice can be rectified, and peace can be restored, and love can be lifted, and joy can be renewed. Help my unbelief. It's a prayer. It's a prayer, beloved. We should pray consistently and continually. Pray not to be what you used to be
and do what you used to do, but to become what we've never been and do what we've never tried. Because I want to suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we are facing and fighting and feeling a new level of demonic opposition in the world. And we are urgently in need of an infusion and an invasion of the Holy Spirit. Our prayer continually and consistently should be, Lord, help me to believe. Somebody ought to say that out loud. Help me to believe. Help me to believe that justice will prevail, that things will change, that the poor will have a chance, that hearts can be transformed, that love is stronger than hate, that all things do work together for good, that joy will come in the morning, and that everything will be all right. Lord, help me to believe, because more than 451,001 people have tragically lost their lives to COVID-19, and we still do not take it seriously. Two elements in this text crash catastrophically in the story of this text. Two elements. The first, deep-seated long-term illness. And second, the irresistible force of the power of God. You see, Ebenezer, the sickness is serious, and there's no way to trivialize it or marginalize or minimize it. This illness is deep, it's protracted, and it's sustained, and it cannot be ignored or explained away. It cannot be integrated into the regular tolerable routine of our occupations and operations. This illness is so serious that it baffled both the disciples of Jesus and the scribes. The scribes in the text represented the law of Moses and the tradition of established religion. The disciples in the text represented the new era of the Spirit and the emerging kingdom of God being inaugurated by and through Jesus Christ, the Messiah of God. But notice, beloved, neither of them were able to get the demon out of the boy, whose daddy had petitioned them both. The old religion of Moses and the new religion of Jesus, and both systems of religion have proven ineffective in an effort to save a very sick child. You see, nobody's religion, that is the set of rules, practices, traditions, and procedures and preferences, was adequate to exorcise the demon that was in the boy. And we can be sure that nobody's practices of mere religious preferences and practices and policies and procedures today will be adequate now to heal the dysfunction that divide and distract us this day. Make sure you don't worship your religion, your practice, your preferences, your traditions, or your procedures. Make sure you worship God and God alone. Because remember, God is bigger than what we believe about God. God is sovereign, and only God can save a sin-sick soul. Only God can heal a troubled mind. Only God can resurrect a dead relationship. Only God can fix a fractured community. Only God can make a way where there is no way. Only God can make the devil leave you alone. Sickness and the Savior had a showdown in this story. The sickness was serious, And similarly, we are in war against the coronavirus. That even when we conquer this virus, there will still be other wars to fight. What about a war against ignorance, against selfishness, against bigotry, against hatred and greed? What about a war against poverty or misplaced priorities? The sickness is serious, long-term, and protracted. This story is loaded with evidence that the case was complex. Verse 17 again says, he had a dumb spirit that made him unable to speak. Now think about that. He was unable to talk. He was unable to speak. He was unable to exert himself and express himself or exercise his power. Because speaking is to existence what scoring is to basketball. Suppose LeBron James had never been given an opportunity to play basketball like all those players before Chuck Cooper became the first African-American drafted in the NBA in 1950. Suppose W.E.B. Du Bois had never uttered an intelligible sound. Suppose Martin Luther King Jr. never raised his poetic voice against poverty and racism and war. Suppose Aretha Franklin and Patti LaBelle and Mahalia Jackson and Gladys Knight never opened their mouths to sing. Suppose Miles Davis had never played his horn or Jimi Hendrix played his guitar. Suppose Tupac, Biggie, or Jay-Z or Common had never written a lyric. Suppose that Samuel DeWitt Proctor or Gardner C. Taylor never opened their mouths to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you cannot speak, the world is robbed of the impact of your being. This young man's being was restricted. His life was threatened. His soul was severely truncated because he had a dumb spirit that made him unable to speak. Now that's bad, but it gets even worse. Because in verse 26 we read that Jesus said to the dumb spirit that was in the boy, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you to come out of him right now." Because not only was the boy unable to speak, he also could not hear. Suppose for a moment you were unable to hear. Suppose that we have never heard the great speakers whose words tickle our ears, or the great singers whose songs and melodies thrilled our hearts, or the great musicians whose lyrical notes soothe our souls. You could not speak if you had not heard. You could not sing if you couldn't discern the pitch. What will happen to this poor young man that cannot speak or hear? But his case was even more serious than that. Because verse 18 reported, whenever the demon seized him, it dashed him down, made him foam, and he gnashed his teeth, and he became rigid and stiff and frozen in place. And that's serious, my friends, because that's exactly the way some people live from day to day. They're stiff and they're frozen and they're stuck in place. They can't move, can't adjust, can't change, can't compromise, can't bend, can't shift, can't transition, can't praise God, can't stand up, can't say amen, can't say thank you, Jesus, can't feel the Spirit, can't be thankful about how God has brought them or what God has taught them, how God has kept them or where God has left them. They're stiff, they're frozen, stuck in place, too cold to cry, too cute to clap their hands, too arrogant to say amen, too stiff to shout, too dry to dance, too hard to holler hallelujah, too frozen to feel, too stuck up to stand up and give God the glory, even in their own homes. They are stiff, they're frozen, they are set. But it's worse than that in the text, because immediately the spirit convulsed the boy and he fell on the ground and he rolled all around and foamed at the mouth. And when the devil was in the boy, saw Jesus. When the devil in the boy stood face to face with Christ, he tore into a more furious rage. He flew into a terrible fit. He threw the boy down, and the boy rolled all over and around the ground out of control. And Jesus raised the question. He said, how long has this been going on? How long has he been in this condition? And the father said, it's been a long time coming. He's been this way since he was a child. And you know, Ebenezer, long-term illness is hard to heal. Long-term habits are difficult to break. Long-term miseries are hard to manage. This boy's illness had gone on for a long time. Many options have been tried, but all to no avail. The Jewish scribes couldn't heal the boy. The disciples of Jesus couldn't heal the boy. So Jesus had to step in. And this, my friends, is the promise that should bless us. Because Jesus stepped in and said, stop arguing among yourselves. Stop arguing about who's who and who's best and who's the greatest and who speaks in tongues and who's really anointed and who shouts and who dances and who's immune and who has the power and who has the strength. Stop arguing about politics. Stop arguing about churches and beliefs and interpretations and extrapolations about theology and ecclesiology, about exegesis and eisegesis. Stop arguing about who you are and bring the boy to me. I know it seems hopeless, but bring him to me. I know it feels impossible, but bring him to me. I am who I am and what I am and where I am and that I am. Bring him to me. Before there was a when or a where or a then or a there, I am. Before there was a case or a cause, I am. Before Abraham was I am. Before the church existed, I am. Bring the boy to me. I have the answer because I am the answer. I have the word because I am the word. I have the truth because I am the truth. I have the way because I am the way. I have the life because I am the life. I have the resurrection because I am the resurrection. I am the bright and morning star. Bring the boy to me. I am the one. I'm the end of suffering at the beginning of his new life. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Nothing is impossible if Jesus is involved. Did you get that this morning? Nothing is impossible if Jesus is involved. So if you have a problem that you can't solve, don't take it to people. Take it to Jesus. If you have a burden that you can't bear, take it to Jesus. If you have a mystery you can't seem to figure out, a dilemma you can't resolve, a mountain you can't move, or a sickness you can't shake, if you have a burden you can't bear, Jesus says, bring it to me. For I hear every prayer. I answer every groan. I calm any calamity. I can move any mountain. Bring the boy to me. And guess what they did? They took the boy to Jesus. And you already know what happened. You even got a way to shout, Jesus healed the boy. And he was made whole and made new. And the disciples said, why couldn't we do that? Jesus said, because it didn't have me. And then without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can't go nowhere. Without me, you can have nothing, achieve nothing, claim nothing, because I am the joy and the strength of your life. I move all pain, misery, and strife. You didn't have me. You stepped away. You disconnected. You disembarked. You forgot to pray. You became sophisticated and assimilated and acculturated and alienated and isolated. You drifted away. Now you're way out there somewhere and can't find your way back. But I just stepped on this stream today to tell you that if you want to see the impossible become possible, if you want the ability to respond to disaster, if you want to minister in God's name, or if you want to live your dreams and work your plans and achieve your goals and navigate your life, you've got to pray and call on Jesus, because he will answer prayer. I said he will answer prayer. When he answers, life will be beautiful and love will be meaningful and pain will be bearable and trouble will be endurable. When he answers prayer, time will be redeemable and communities will be renewable. Rivers will be crossable because he answers prayer. He answers prayer. And if there's anybody on this stream who's willing to trust God and know that all things are possible if you believe. I don't know about you today, but I'm never going back to doubting what's possible, because all things are possible to the one who believes. May God, beloved, help your unbelief and give you the power to believe again. The word of God for the people of God and all of God's people said, amen.
Amen.
At this time, we're going to extend an invitation to you to give your life to the Lord. While we don't necessarily can't walk down the aisles, you can indicate to us in the chat comments, send us your email address, and we will have a deacon and or our church clerk to follow up with you. Now is the time to believe that all things are possible. Whatever you have, whatever you got going on, whatever difficulties, challenges you may have, bring it to Jesus. The doors of the church are open. Is there one? You can come by letter. You can come by Christian Experience. You can come as a brand new convert. We are here to extend an invitation to you to be a part of the fellowship of believers. We truly want to be your pastor, to be the shepherd of your life through Jesus Christ. Doors of the church are open. Is there one? Again, all you have to do, just send us your email address, and we will follow up with you. Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah. Go ahead and take that step. This is a brand new year. Brand new year. We don't know what the balance of it looks like. Do it while you have a chance, because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Hallelujah in this place. Blessed Savior, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy
Yes, he is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Jesus is worthy, I tell you. He's worthy to be praised. And you can be a part of that chorus of praise by giving your life to the Lord. Yes, he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the morning, I will. Yes, at noonday, I'll praise him. Even late at night. Jesus, blessed Savior. Jesus, blessed Savior. Jesus, blessed Savior. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We are so thankful that you joined us this day, and we pray that God gave you something to go on and see what the end will be. Let us prepare now for our benediction. I want to remind you about our food pantry on Tuesday from 12 to 2, right here at Ebenezer. And also, we have our prayer time and Bible study at 6:15 on Wednesday evening on our Zoom platform. Please join us. We look forward to having you. Let us look to heaven. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rest, rule, and abide with you all, now, henceforth, and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and remember to be kind to one another.